We are continuing our sermon series from the book of 1 Peter, This World Is Not Our Home. And this morning, I invite you to turn to chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're only going to be looking at a handful of verses today, verses 8 to 12. And so you can follow along in your Bible or read along on the screen behind me. And let's take a look at what God's Word has to say to us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up in verse 8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with one another. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word this morning. And as we take time to discover what the truly blessed life looks like, God, I pray that You would speak, that You would move, help our hearts to be open and to be receptive to what it is that You want to say to us this morning. And we pray now that You would bless our time together in Your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about all the different uses and the different contexts that we have for the word blessed. Because we see that word a lot in our culture, don't we? I mean, we know that fall is coming up. All the pumpkin spice home decor is coming out soon. And so if you've been in Hobby Lobby, you've probably seen a wall hanging like this, made from refinished barn wood and hung with tan-colored twine. And on that wall hanging in kind of a nice, flowy, feminine script, you've got blessed, surrounded by some floral accents. Or maybe you've been on social media and you see that one power couple who's been dating for all of 1 week, or that one picture-perfect family posting yet another manicured photo with the caption, so blessed. Or maybe you go to someone else's house in a high-end neighborhood for the first time, and as you walk in, you can't help but notice the expensive cars in the heated garage, the luxury furniture, the immaculate landscaping, and as you're drinking it all in, you kind of go, wow, this place is nice, and the homeowners kind of say, yeah, we're blessed. And isn't it interesting how in North American culture, we associate being blessed with being comfortable? Think of that Hobby Lobby wall hanging. Because that wall hanging is specifically crafted and designed to give off kind of a homey, pleasant vibe. And the word blessed, it wouldn't come across the same if that was a rusty scrap metal sign and if blessed was spelled out in barbed wire, right? Or think of the social media couple. Or think of the social media family, because whenever they post about being blessed, it's always a nice proportioned Photoshop picture. It's never the chaotic meltdown that happened 5 minutes before the photo, right? And then even with the friend in that luxury neighborhood, you know, it's easy to think of the independently wealthy as being blessed, but what about the couple who's content to live in a modest one-story bungalow or a tiny apartment? Did they miss out on being blessed? So you think of all that, and then you think of the audience that Peter was writing to in this passage. 1 Peter was a letter written to Christians who had undergone tremendous suffering for their faith. The Roman Emperor Nero, at the time of this letter, he had launched a full-fledged persecution campaign against the early church. And these Christians, a lot of them had lost everything. They had lost their homes, their livelihood, their independence, their freedom. They had seen loved ones arrested, imprisoned, tortured, killed. And from our North American perspective, it may seem like these first century Christians were experiencing the polar opposite of the blessed life. And look at the instruction that Peter gives in verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. Peter's words are unflinchingly clear. The truly blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. That's a hard word. Because North American culture tends to promote the opposite. I mean, just look at the prosperity gospel. This whole movement of scammers, grifters, con artists, and so-called pastors who teach that God's blessing revolves solely around worldly comfort. And they say, oh, no true Christian would ever suffer. No true faith-filled believer would ever get sick or face tragedy or loss or hardship. But listen, God wants you to be happy and healthy and wealthy and blessed. He wants you to enjoy your best life now. And whatever you want God to do for you, you just speak that into existence. You just sow your seed, which is code for pay an exorbitant amount of money. You just sow your seed and then you'll be blessed and comfortable. And if you and I are honest with ourselves, we know that we are all too eager to associate being blessed and living blessed with living comfortably. We likely think of the blessed life as having all of our problems taken care of, having all of our prayers answered, having not just our needs met, but also our wants and our likes and our preferences and our expectations all met to custom specifications. But when we look at the Word of God, we discover that our definition of being blessed and God's definition of being blessed are often two very different things, aren't they? The blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. And over the next few moments, I want to ask, what does it look like to live called? If the blessing of God is connected less with comfort and more with calling, then what kind of response does that require of us? And in this passage, Peter gives us four directives of living called. Four avenues where we can experience God's blessing on God's terms, not by living comfortably, but by living called. And the first directive Peter tells us is that if we want to receive the blessed life, we need to live called in our relationships. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with one another. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. In verse 8, pay attention to that word finally. One of the Bible study tips that I tell our youth students is that when you're reading the Bible, don't ever read a verse just by itself. Don't just read a verse in isolation, but look for reference words. Look for words that refer or connect to earlier ideas that you might not see in the immediate verse. And that's the case with this word, finally. The reason Peter says finally is that he's concluding a section of thought that began all the way back in chapter 2, verse 11, where he says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world." And then from there, Peter lays out what living properly looks like in different relationships. He talks about relationships with government and then with slaves and then with spouses. Pastor Gary is going to cover some of that next week. And now, if we go back to chapter 3, verse 8, Peter wraps up that long section on relationships by describing how all Christians ought to act when it comes to relationships in general. So be of one mind, sympathize, love as brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, keep humble. Now, that can be tough enough on a good day. But then Peter takes it one step further. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay back with a blessing. Why? Because it's easy? Because it's fun? Because it makes the world a better place? No, the why, Peter says, is that is what God has called you to do. And He will grant you His blessing when you live called. Consider for a moment what Peter's audience has been through. As persecuted Christians in the Roman Empire, they've seen things that no one should ever have to see. They have experienced loss, horror, trauma on a profound level. And if anybody had a legitimate right to repay evil or retaliate with an insult, it would have been them. Yet Peter still tells his audience and us that the blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. And so for us, I think if you've ever been hurt by someone, or if you've ever had a relationship go bad, then you know that there is kind of a twisted comfort that we can search for by clapping back, isn't there? Someone insults you, and you put them in their place. Yeah, that feels comfortable for a moment. Or someone hurts you, and you figure out how to take vengeance on them so that they'll think twice before they ever mess with you again. Yeah, that feels comfortable. And then someone gossips about you, but you discover a skeleton in their closet that you can weaponize against them. Oh yeah, that might feel comfortable. All of those things might seem comfortable, but they are not what God has called us to. And I do want to give an important disclaimer while we're here. When the Bible talks about paying back blessing to those who hurt us, that is not the same as being a doormat or downplaying someone's sin or refusing to leave an abusive or dangerous situation. And so if you are trapped in that kind of situation today, please do not go through that on your own. Get help, get out. And so paying back blessing and living in our relationships, it's not about mindlessly tolerating abuse, but what it is about the posture of our heart before God as it relates to the other people in our lives. Am I reflecting the character of Christ to others? Am I truly sympathetic, truly humble, truly tender-hearted? And even if I do need to separate from a person or remove myself from a toxic situation, have I evaluated my heart and truly surrendered my motives before God? And in my relationships with others, am I trying to live comfortably or live called? The blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. It's about living called in our relationships. And then Peter says that we are to live called in our words. Now, over these next few verses, Peter is going to cite Psalm 34, 12, and 16. So he's going to be quoting the scripture that these early believers would have known and grown up with. And Peter is going to connect living called to some raw truth from this psalm. And so I've got the cross-reference up there on the screen. This is Peter quoting Psalm 34, 12 through 13. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. If anybody had a right to speak evil, it certainly would have been Peter's audience. Peter, do you know what Nero's soldiers did to my family? Do you know the pain, the evil, the nightmares that I have had to live through? Peter, I hate this government so much, it makes me want to puke. And I just need to vent. I just need to get some stuff off my chest. I just need to blow a fuse and let people know how awful I feel. You ever been there? I have. And not just with speaking evil, but how about with telling lies? You know, if some of these Christians had just lied about their faith, if they had lied to their persecutors, if they had lied to the Roman soldiers about their allegiance to Jesus, that probably would have gotten them off the hook. And I'm sure more than a few of them might have had that specific temptation floating around in the back of their mind. Yet Peter shuts both of those down. And here's the direct psalm that he's quoting. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. And can we be real today? That command is not easy. That call is not easy. It's hard. And that's because speaking evil is comfortable. Just look at any comment section on YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, or whatever social media platform you're on. Go to a comment section and you'll find that speaking evil comes very naturally to us. Whether it's speaking evil of a certain political party, or a certain fan base, or a sports team, or a perspective we don't like, a person or an issue that we have strong feelings about, man, it feels good to argue. Feels good to vent. Feels good to ruminate. And I confess this morning that I have had way too many moments in my own life where I have wasted significant time ruminating about someone who hurt me, coming up with all my own defenses and counterarguments, or I think about the times when I've been on social media, I'll see a comment that I disagree with, and then I'll spend the next 20 to 30 minutes in full-blown keyboard warrior mode trying to cook up the perfect argument, the perfect opposition, the perfect gotcha to shut down the person I disagree with. And then the Holy Spirit will just kind of knock on my conscience like, but what are you really trying to accomplish here? You do know that none of this brings me glory and none of this is edifying, right? I mean, what blessing, John, do you get by airing your grievances publicly? What blessing do you get by venting? Because whatever short-term comfort you might achieve by speaking evil, it's not worth the price of long-term blessing. Listen, speaking evil is comfortable, but it's not what we're called to. Church, you and I are not called to speak evil, but Proverbs 15:4 says that we are called to speak healing words that act as a tree of life. And then we're not called to tell lies, we're called to rejoice with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:5. And that's not living easy. It's not living comfortable, but it is living called. The truly blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. So Peter directs us to live called in our relationships, in our words. And then he says in verse 11 that we are to live called in our priorities. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. And I also like how the CSB version renders this verse. Seek peace and pursue it. So Peter challenges us. What are you pursuing? What are you prioritizing? And on one level, this seems so basic, but on another level, living called in our priorities is very hard. In fact, it's not just hard, it is impossible without the transformative grace of Jesus Christ affecting us from the inside out. See, we know from Genesis 3 that all of us have been born with what the Bible calls a sinful nature. It's kind of like this spiritual factory defect that all of us have been born with, and it messes up our priorities from day one. See, all of us are hardwired for selfishness, to prioritize ourselves. Case in point, if you're a parent, did you ever have to teach your kids how to be selfish? Not mine. I figured that out on my own. Thank you very much. Or think about this. All of us are hardwired to turn toward evil. We're all hardwired to turn against the path of most resistance. And I think a lot of us, if we're honest, we will avoid doing good if doing good will not satisfy our immediate desires. That's because doing good is not natural to us. And even maintaining peace is not natural either. If you're married, you know that maintaining peace is not always comfortable, but you're still called to be a godly wife, a godly husband, and to reflect the character of Jesus Christ to your spouse. And then if you're a parent, you especially know that maintaining peace is not always comfortable. Family devotions aren't comfortable. Setting down ground rules isn't comfortable. Setting boundaries isn't comfortable. But even though it's not comfortable, parents, you are still called to build a household that is godly, stable, and nurturing for the spiritual needs of your kids. And even in my own life, the older I get, the more I realize that even as I've been following Jesus a long time, living called in my priorities, man, it is way worse than uncomfortable. If anything, living called will lead me to the exact polar opposite extreme of comfortable. But the more my priorities lock in on living called rather than comfortable, that's when I start to see the fruit of God's blessing. For example, think about if I live called in the priority of physical health. The Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 6 that my body is a temple set apart for the glory of God, and I'm responsible to look after it. And so going to the gym and getting all sore and sweaty, and nothing comfortable about that. And then saying no to Krispy Kreme, saying no to Pizza Inn, saying no to that new sour green apple Slurpee at Wawa, which I had in Florida and which was amazing. Now, having one is okay, but having to stay away from that as part of my regular diet, man, none of that's comfortable. But even though healthy living is not comfortable, and even though prioritizing my physical health is not comfortable, I'm still called to be a good steward of my body. And by living called in my physical health, I start to see the blessing, you follow? I start to see the blessing of feeling better, looking better, feeling better equipped, having more health and more stamina for the demands of ministry. Or I think about the priority of spiritual health. It's important to live called in that department too. I don't do it as much as I need to or as much as I would like, but I am working on building the routine of having a specific time of day where I put away my phone, I stop my activities, I shut things down for the day, and then I take time out of my day to be still before God and His Word. And being still, man, being still is one of the toughest parts of my day. When I was a kid, I thought my name was Be Still, because I'm not naturally still unless I'm looking at a screen or something. And so being still before God, taking out my Bible, taking out my journal, man, none of that is comfortable. None of that is living comfortable, but it's still living called. And by living called in my spiritual health and living called in that priority, I start to see the blessing of a steadier spirit, clearer thinking, stronger battle resistance when trials and temptations try to take me down. And then I think about living called in the priority of not just physical health, not just spiritual health, but how about living called in the priority of community health, the church? Man, even as a pastor, I will confess that going to church every Sunday, setting my alarm for 7:15 when the rest of Rocky Mount is sleeping in and gearing up for a weekend of football and eating out and having fun at the lake, man, none of that's comfortable, but it is living called. And by living called in my community health, living called in my church health, I start to see the blessing of deeper relationship with God, deeper relationship with you guys, and special family experiences that can only be found when I live called in the priority of community health, when I prioritize community with God's people. Living called in our priorities is not comfortable, but it is what leads to a truly blessed life. The blessed life is not about living comfortably, but living called. It's all about living called in our relationships, in our words, in our priorities. And finally, in verse 12, Peter says that we can find the blessed life when we live called in our awareness. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Church, this is why living called is so important. We don't live called just to get material blessings, even though that can happen, as we just described. We don't live called just to set a positive example or to be the change that we want to see in the world. No, we live called because we are aware that God is watching us. And we are aware that how we live our lives will affect our relationship with God, for better or for worse. Think again about the people that Peter is writing to, and even to these dear saints who have gone through unimaginable suffering. Peter is still compelled by the Holy Spirit to cite these words from Psalm 34, 15, and 16 that you see on the screen. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Listen, that's not sensationalism, that's not shock value, it's Bible, all right? And if Peter's suffering audience needed to hear this warning back then, how much more do you and I need to hear this warning in 21st century America? See, in many respects, North American churchianity has neutered God and made him extra passive in regard to sin. Oh, God's not out to get you, he's not out to judge you, he just wants to be besties. And if that's not you, hey, no big deal. Listen, God's love and God's justice do not cancel each other out. God is perfect, God is holy, God is divine. And if you and I willfully choose to reject God's word, to indulge our sin, and embrace our own selfishness, this Bible verse makes it very clear we are putting ourselves at risk of judgment. I think of the times on social media where I'll see someone say, "Who are you to judge? Only God can judge me." It's like, don't you think that should scare you, son? But as much as this verse emphasizes God's judgment and God's rejection of the wicked, notice also how it emphasizes God's embrace of the righteous, those who have repented of their sin and confessed Jesus as Lord. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. And maybe you're wondering, man, all that sounds good, but how in the world am I supposed to do right? How can I ever be righteous enough for God to open his ears to my prayer? How do I do that? Well, you can't. And neither can I. None of us can be righteous or perfect enough or good enough to measure up to God's standard of righteousness, not in and of ourselves. And God knows that. And that's why God sent Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through through Jesus Christ. See, a big part of living called means humbling ourselves and saying, Lord Jesus, I don't want to live this life on my own anymore. I don't want to settle for living comfortably and being let down again and again and again by all of these empty comforts that the world has to offer. But God, I want to live called by being aware of who you are, aware of who I am, and aware of my need for saving relationship with you. God, I'm done with living comfortable. I'm done with living by my own rules, and I want to live called. And so over these last few moments together, we're going to create some space here for you to get real with God and get right with God today. Listen, if living comfortably has come up empty for you, if you're tired of settling for the world's comfort instead of God's blessings, then right now is the perfect opportunity to change that. I've asked a couple of our church people to come and assist with prayer at the front. So that way, if you do feel the need for prayer, you're not going to be up here alone. You'll have some wonderful church folks who are praying with you and supporting you. We're going to sing one more song together. And if you sense the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, so you know, man, it's not just Pastor John speaking, it's not my imagination speaking, it's not my neighbor speaking. If you know for yourself that it's time to live called and make some changes in your relationship with God, I'm going to invite you to come down and receive prayer. We've got Melody on one side, Dr. Finney on the other side. They would love to pray for you. And for the rest of us, whether we're praying or whether we're standing, let's take some time to stand and to thank Jesus for his love. We're going to sing one more song together.